the kingdom of God is not a geographical kingdom. It's a kingdom of our hearts. God rules in our heart. When He rules in your heart, wherever you go, you're in the kingdom. So you first allow the kingdom to come into your heart, and then you live in the kingdom. And when you live in God's kingdom, you live under His rule. And He rules with righteousness. He rules as a loving God. He rules as a good father over His children. And He pours out His blessings on His people. He's different to the gods that you know and that you worship. Then He says, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So God planned all those things. He's the God who planned all those things. The Greeks live in Greece. And the Africans live in Africa. And God appointed it to be so. But although we all differ, He said He made us all from one blood. He made us all from one blood. And then He goes on and He says, He appointed the boundaries of the dwellings and so on. And then in verse 27 He says, so that they should seek the Lord. So that they should seek the Lord. Verse 26 says, And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord. Do you know that every person on the inside has a need of God? We were just made like that. God made us to depend on Him. Now the Greeks, they thought that the gods depended on them. They had to give them things, put things down at the statues, at the altars and those things to appease their gods and to serve them in such a way. But this God, the one who made all the heavens and the earth, and the one who made us and put us in the places where He wanted us to be, and even predetermined the times that we should live, He does not depend on man. Man is dependent on Him. You cannot live without Him. You think so, but deep inside there's a yearning. Deep inside there's something that doesn't sit right. Deep inside there's something that doesn't fit together well if God is not in there. He's the one that you need. And He's the one that we found, many of us. And when we found Him, we stopped our search. And I know, when I have to ask you, I know some of you have been searching, and you've been all over the place and looking into different kinds of spiritualities, things that people do, spiritual things, different kinds of religions. But when you found Him, you stopped your search. You came to the end of your journey. Amen. It stopped because He filled the void that was there on the inside. And you don't have that yearning anymore, except that you want to be close to Him. Except that you have a need of Him, and you need that fellowship, you need that communion, you need to be in touch with Him. For verse 28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Now, whether you know Him or not, that doesn't change anything. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Now, if that is so, God is not far from each one of us. It says there in verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him, touch Him, that we may find the God that we know He is the real God. He's the one who gives us life. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the one who planned all of this. That we may touch Him and that we may find Him, although He's not far from each one of us. That's a great comfort. that God is not far from each one of us. He is very close to every one of us because in Him we live. If we live in Him, He's as close to you as your life. I know when I was running away from Him that at times I had the sense that God was right behind me. I was trying to run away from Him, but He caught up with me. And I tried many things and thought that I would plan my own life and do my own thing and so on. But when I found Him, I lost interest in all of that. When I found Him, my search stopped. And a new search began, and that is that I may know Him more. Amen. That I may find more of Him. That I may, as Paul says, that I may lose myself in Him. Amen. That's the only yearning that we now still have. Now that we found Him, we cannot get enough of Him. He's so close to us. And the closer we get to Him, the more we want to know Him. It's a strange thing that Paul writes, after all his experiences, mighty, awesome revelations that he had, that he penned down for us in the New Testament, all the miracles that he saw happen in front of his eyes, that he writes in the book of Philippians to the Philippian church, and he says, I have regarded all those things that was so wonderful to me, so precious. I regard that all rubbish, so that I may find Him. He became the most precious possession. He became the most precious that we could ever find. Once we found Him, we really discovered how wonderful He is. And there's an attraction that begins that draws us ever close to Him. But God is not far from any one of us. He's close to us. Where you sit this morning, God's close to you. Doesn't matter whether you believe in Him or not. God's close to you. He's not far from each one of us. And wherever you go, God's close to you. He is as close to you as your next breath. You cannot run away from God. He's always there. David wrote about that, and I guess he probably tried some things as well. He said, where shall I go? Where shall I run away from you? If I go up into the heavens, you're there. If I go down into the domain of the dead, you're there. He says, if I go to where the sun comes up, you're there. Where can I go where you won't find me? Because He is everywhere. And God is close to every one of us. Now there comes a time when we don't feel like that. There comes a time when we feel separated from God. There comes a time when we feel so weak. There comes a time when we feel, wonder where is God in all of this? There comes a time when things begin to pile up against us and we begin to question God. But that doesn't mean God's far away from us.
That's right.
It only means we have some feelings. But feelings don't change God.
Amen.
God is always the same. He never changes. And He's always close to us. God fills it all. How can we be far from Him? And the fact that we go through some things doesn't mean that God is going through some things and that God needs a break. That God needs a break from us. Sometimes we may feel like that. I know from personal experience that there were times where I thought, I have finally caught God. He didn't help me when I called on Him. Just to find out later, I'm so glad He didn't. Because I wasn't asking for the right thing. I was just acting in the flesh. I was just I was just led by my feelings. And I really acted as if God was far away from me. And I found out, no, He never was. I go to Psalm 34 and verse 15. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. It doesn't say the eyes of the Lord are on the perfect.
Praise God.
Because he would have had to close his eyes. Nobody's perfect. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who was righteous? Those who said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a simple step. It's just putting our faith in him. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, which is a good thing to know. Do you know that as you sit here this morning, if you made that decision, that God's eyes are on you. Wherever you go, God's eyes are on you. Now, we believed earlier on, and many people still do, they think God's eyes are on them so that he can get them when they make a mistake. But it says here, and his ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to their cry. He's always watching to watch out for us, to look out for us. And his ears are open to our cry, when we cry. God's not far from us. He's close to each one of us. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Amen. I tell you, that verse meant a lot to me, personally. Sometimes we do go through some trouble. But he delivers us out of all of them. There were days when I thought, I have no idea how God's going to fix this one. There were days when I stood with my face against the wall. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know where to go. My whole life fell apart. And then God delivered me out of those troubles. And today I can look back and say, yes, God helped me out of those troubles and those and those and those. And the testimonies are just piling up. God was never far from me. When I was deep in trouble, God was close to me. And he knew just how to help me out of it. God knew just how to reach out to me and deliver me out of my troubles. Verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. See, that's when we need him most. But that's sometimes when we also feel God is so far from us. When we are brokenhearted, when our lives are just destroyed, when things are falling apart, when things turn against us, people turn against us, loved ones turn against us, and their hearts are broken, then God is near to us. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many, verse 19, are the affliction of the righteous. I wonder how many people will agree with me on that one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is very close to each one of us. Even when we're in trouble.
That's right.
Even when things close in on us, God is close to us. In him we live and move and have our being. He's never far from us, even though we feel so. I'm so glad God's not moved by our feelings.
Praise God.
Boy, that would have been a bad thing. But God knows our hearts, and he knows what kind of material we're made of, and he knows that we stumble often, but he also knows how to deliver us every time. Help us out. He knows it very well. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. What a comfort that is. What a comfort that is. That we know that even though we go through a difficult time, God is close to me. Jesus promised, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you till the end of the time. He's close to every one of us. You don't have to feel him. It's still true. It is still true. Because God cannot lie. He's always close to us. Now, what does that mean to us? A lot. It means a lot. Because if you don't know that, and trouble comes, how will you respond to that? That's why people fear. That's why people begin to panic. That's why people make wrong decisions. That's when people begin to make a decision that they regret for the rest of their lives. When they find themselves in a situation and they think, I have to solve the problem myself. But if you know God is there, if you know God's going to hear your cry, if you know God's eyes are on the righteous, if you know all those things, and trouble comes, you know, well, he's going to get me out of this anyway.
Amen.
I don't have to panic. Mm-hmm. I don't have to fear. Right. I'm just going to sit and wait on God. Mm. He will show me the next step. Mm. He will open the door where there is no door.
Amen.
But he is going to find a way out of this.
Amen.
He knows the exit out of every problem situation. He knows it. And if we would just wait on him to show us, we'll do a whole lot better. We'll do a whole lot better. But I tell you, when you become and run around frantically seeking a way to get out of it and cut corners and do things he's not supposed to do, that's when you just increase trouble. But when you know God's eyes are on me and God is not far from me, he's so close to me, you know, it won't take long.
Right.
So, our whole attitude is different.
Right.
Our whole approach is different. And we can be at peace even in the day of trouble.
Amen.
Because we know. It makes a whole big difference just to know that God is not far from each one of us. Now I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, back to the New Testament. Now we know that through sin, we were separated from God. And there's nothing we can do about it. Because it's not so much the wrongs that we have done. Our real problem is that we were born from a man that turned his back against God. And there's a law that says kind produces kind. Apples produce apples. And sinful man produces sinful man. And so everybody that was born out of Adam, and that is everybody, is a sinful man, a fallen nature, separated from God, running away from God just as forefather Adam did. Running away from God, that's just part of our fallen nature. And that is our problem. And that sin separated us from God. But God, because he is a loving God, made a plan to bring us back to him. And that is what we read about here in Ephesians 2. And I want to read from verse 11. It says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that's a very accurate picture of life without God. no hope. There is, it's a life of no hope. I don't know what it is to have no hope. Since I met him, without God, I don't know what it is to wake up in the morning and have no hope. You cannot live without hope. You cannot live without hope. Hope is what gives you the reason to get out of bed in the morning. How can you live without hope? How can you live? How can you live your life without hope? Because we don't know where we will be tomorrow. Our flesh is like grass, the Bible says. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. We don't know. We just don't know where we will be tomorrow. Therefore, we need to have hope. It says, and without God in the world, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And God paved the way, and he opened the door for every person on the face of the earth, every person ever born, to find the way back to God. And know that God brought us near. When Jesus shed his blood at the cross, God brought us near. And all we have to realize is this: God is all around me. I can just put out my hand, so to speak, and touch him. Because in him we live and move and have our being. God is close to every one of us. And all we have to do is accept his gesture, say thank you, and turn away, and instead of running away from him, start running back towards God. And find that God is not there to punish us, but God is there to deliver us. God is there to help us. God is there to give us hope. God is there to strengthen us in the day of weakness. God is there to help us out in the day of trouble. God is there to point the way to the exit sign. Because he knows the way out of that situation. And all we need to do is put our eyes on him, fix our eyes on him. He knows the way out of it. And follow him. He's close to every one of us. And we don't have to go through times where we think we need to earn the help of God. Jesus already earned it. We have favor with God. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, if you've already accepted him, then you are near by the blood of Christ. The wall of separation has been taken away, and the door is open. And all we have to do is walk right into it. Now there's one more scripture I want to go to, and that is in Hebrews. Now that the way is paved, Hebrews 4. Now that the way is paved, God did one more thing. And that is to give us a standing invitation. He did it all for us. He sent Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. He took all our sins upon him, received the death penalty for it, so that we could be reconciled with God once again. And now we have a standing invitation. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, I'll tell you, a good confession to make in the day of trouble is, I know trouble is all around me, but I also know God is near. That's a good confession. Now, he's talking about a different confession, but it really comes down to the same thing. I know that there's a health problem on the horizon, but God is near me. I know there's a financial problem, But God's near me.
For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
So when we tempted, and our temptations are not only to sin, let me tell you something. We are tempted on many more levels than just sinful levels. Sometimes tempted to doubt. Sometimes tempted to say, where is God in all of this? What's the use of serving God? We're tempted to say such foolish things. Because we feel far from God and think because we feel so that it is so.
How many times have we found that the way we feel one way, but it's not the right way?
Sometimes we feel things and then find out, well, I just felt the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. We can never depend on our feelings.
Amen.
Feelings change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we can depend on God. He never changes.
Amen.
We can depend on the truth. The truth sets us free. That's why it's foolish to tamper with the truth. We nowadays see how churches begin to change their tenets of faith so that they can make God fit in with society. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in that kind of a God. If we make our own God, then I don't want that God. I want to serve the God that made me.
Amen.
I don't want the God that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. I have some confidence in the talents that God gave me, but not that much. That I can make a God and then worship Him and think He will help me. No, we cannot change God. He changes us. How can we change God because society changed? We are being changed by God. And God is out there to change society. I was blessed this morning. I got an email from the pastor in the Ukraine. Now, we know that it's a former Russia and that they've been under very cruel communist rule for about, 4.5 decades or more? I'm not sure. But it was... they had no freedoms, nothing. Even today, they don't have much in the line of owning things. And even their lifestyle is way below what we're used to here. But who could think that in a place like that, God would move and use the government to open doors for churches? I got an email, the pastor said, the government asked us to take all our sound systems into the parks tomorrow, on Monday. And he said, they give us an hour program. But we can just preach the gospel wherever we want. We can do what we want. We have the permission from the government to do that. Who could ever think that that would ever happen? I tell you why. God changes societies.
Amen.
Let's never try to change God.
Amen.
He knows. And we know we're a bit discouraged when we see what's going on here in Canada and how things are developing and how the government wants to take... They just want to wipe out everything that's Christian and bring in everything that's darkness. And that is fine. I say to myself, that's fine. If God can change the old Russia, God can change Canada too.
Amen.
And I say the day will come when they will come to the churches and say, take your sound systems into the parks and into the malls and preach the gospel because we need it.
Amen.
We need it. The people out there need to know God does care about them. The people out there need to know that God's laws are not there to imprison them. They're there to set them free.
Right.
They need to understand that God's laws are there to prosper them, not to rob them. The people need to know who God really is. He's not the God that religion projected and introduced as a cruel God, just watching out for everybody to punish them all day long. He's a loving Father.
Amen.
Who cares about His children. Who did everything possible to open the way so that we could come back to Him and realize
that he wanted us to be close to him. And so he came close to us first through Christ, who came and lived like a man and showed us how to live. And then went and died and opened the door for all of us to live that life in the presence of the Father. Not threatened by him, but blessed beyond belief by the goodness of God, reaching out to man. And now it says here in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now grace means unmerited favor. Favor we never deserved. We never earned anything. It is unmerited favor. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is not the same as grace. Grace is to receive what we didn't deserve. Mercy is not to receive what we do deserve. That's punishment for our weaknesses and the times that we stumble. And so, and now he says, let us come boldly. Not fearfully, but let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When do you need grace? And when do you need mercy? When you're in trouble. When you're in trouble. When you're not doing well. There's a standing invitation to come boldly, which means nothing can separate you from God.
Amen.
He's always near to you. He's always close to you. He always wants you to know that he's not far from you. He opened the door and he gave us a standing invitation. When you need it, that's when you come. Now, we humans are very strange creatures sometimes, because we will come boldly when we don't need it. But oh boy, when there is something, then we stay away. We just feel I'm not worthy, or I've messed up, I've stumbled, I'm not worthy to come into the presence of God, and then we stay away. But no, that is when the invitation really is valid. It is for the time of need. It's for the time when we need grace. It's for the time when we need mercy that the invitation was given. So God says, even those things that may separate you from me, I now put aside, because Jesus' blood cleansed it all out already, and you can come boldly into the throne of grace. Come boldly. Don't feel unworthy. Don't feel inferior. Don't feel you don't deserve that. Of course you don't. Nobody does. Nobody deserves anything with God. It's just His grace. It's a gift that came through Jesus. He earned it all for us. He paid the price. And now, the final scripture, and I guess most of us, you know where I'm going now. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we read from verse 31. I want to tell you, and I know many of you know that yourself, that this is a very powerful comfort to us. That what I'm going to read now is extremely powerful. When you need God, this can help you. If you can put your faith into this, if you know what God gave us here, let me tell you, I've been in terrible situations. And I read this, and every time, God came and He helped me. Every time. What shall we say then? What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? if God is for you, who can be against you? Financial problems? Difficult people? Who can be against you if God is for you? He, God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm so glad that word freely is in there. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So one thing about God is always inclusive. God doesn't exclude. People do. And religion does. But God doesn't. God always includes. He's not vulnerable. God can afford to do that. He's God. He can afford to do that. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So you cannot go to God the judge. Or let me put it this way. The devil cannot go to God the judge of all and bring a charge against us, because he's the one who justified us. You go to the wrong place when you do that. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. So you cannot go to Christ and try to the devil cannot go to Christ and try to condemn you by what you did. Because it's he who died and paid the penalty for your sin. Go to the wrong address again. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He is not only the one who paid the penalty, he is also our advocate, who takes our case, he pleads our case. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? If nothing can separate you, then you're close. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can those things separate us from God? No, it can't. It can't. We are too close to God to be separated from him. Nothing can separate us. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, God never said there won't be any trouble. He never said that. But he always said, I'll be with you when you're in the trouble. You won't be alone. Because he's close to you. He's close to every one of us. He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is so close to us that nothing can separate us from God. God is close to every one of us. Let that be a strength to us. Let that be an anchor to us. Let that be a foundation upon which we stand. Nothing can ever separate me from God. Doesn't matter what comes against me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's close to every one of us. And nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from God. In him we live and move and have our being. We're always in the presence of God. We don't always act as if we're in the presence of God, but that doesn't change anything. We're still in the presence of God. And he's there for every one of us. Let us close our eyes. Father, thank you that you loved us when we were still running away from you. You reached out to us. You saw that we were on the road of destruction. running towards an end of misery and despair and hopelessness. And you saw, and you paid the price, reached out to us, paved the way, opened the door, gave us a standing invitation to always be close to you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, and help us never to forget in the day of trouble that you are close to us, that your eyes are on the righteous, and your ears are open to their cry, that we're always close to you, that you deliver us out of all our troubles. We bless you, we honor you, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you've given us. Thank you for always giving us the victory in every situation. We bless your mighty name. Amen.
Please stand.